Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. This is the sound in the Syrian city of Homs within the past hour. Attacks against civilian neighborhoods in that city. Coming up, the latest news from Syria, where months of bloody clashes between government forces and civilian protesters shows no sign of letting up. We'll explore some of the implications for the international community as well. Right now, let's check in on top news stories at coming up to 31 minutes after the hour. It's a tale of two cities in Syria. State television says thousands are giving a hero's welcome to Russia's foreign minister as he arrives for talks with President Bashar al-Assad, days after Russia vetoed a Security Council resolution condemning the violence in Syria. However, activists report that the violent crackdown on anti-government protesters continues. Paul Wood is with our partner, the BBC. He's in the city of Homs. Listen to this dispatch.
We counted several hundred mortar and shell impacts during the day. Every so often we hear the whistle and the explosion, some of them quite close. People have tried to stay in, and I think that has kept the number of casualties down. It is at about 42, they believe, here, although that is not confirmed. People have gone out from this particular neighbourhood to bury 17 people at once, and they felt themselves in such danger that they had to put all the bodies into a mass grave and very hurriedly cover over that grave before making their escape, and even then they were fired on.
Paul Wood in the city of Homs in Syria. The renewed violence comes a day after the United States closed its embassy in Syria and removed all remaining staff. More on this story coming up. Republican presidential candidates compete today in Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri in some non-binding contests. Polls give Mitt Romney a double-digit lead in Colorado, but running in a dead heat with Rick Santorum in Minnesota. No delegates will be awarded in the Missouri primary, where Newt Gingrich was left off the ballot. And a ticker tape parade makes its way up the Canyon of Heroes in Lower Manhattan this morning for, that's right, the New York Giants following their Super Bowl win. Organizers have tons of confetti. After the parade, the team will receive keys to the city from Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and you might leave your keys at home in New York if you plan to drive to Lower Manhattan. There's a gridlock alert. Checking the markets, Asian and European markets are down this morning. Futures are down on Wall Street as well. The Dow gets underway at 12,845. The S&P opens at 1,344, and the NASDAQ opens 2901. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE.
Well, as you just heard, the Syrian city of Homs is reported to be under renewed assault this morning by government forces. That's a day after the United States closed its embassy in Damascus, and months of violence, instead of slowing down, seem to be escalating at this point. And in the meantime, the world leaders seem to have run out of diplomatic options.
We have been relentless in sending a message that it is time for Assad to go.
That was President Obama speaking in an NBC News interview yesterday. Joining us now, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on WQXR's The Washington Report. David, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Celeste.
Are we to take any larger message from the exit of the diplomats from the U.S. embassy in Syria, other than a fear for their safety at this point, with fighting on the streets of Damascus? Is this also some kind of warning that diplomacy is not working?
Oh, diplomacy certainly has not worked in this case. And what's interesting is diplomacy hasn't worked here from the start. In some ways, Celeste, what we're seeing is both the opposite of what came together so well in Libya and perhaps a reaction to Libya. In Libya, you'll remember that it was the combination of the United States, the Europeans, and the Arab League who all got the United Nations to then give the legal cover for what became initially an effort to protect the population, and which many people, especially the Russians, think morphed into a regime change operation. It was because the Russians felt that they had been deceived, and the Chinese as well, that they blocked the action here. And so in this case, there's been total gridlock. And, you know, this isn't the world of lousy options right now. This is the world of no options, because there's no legal way for the Arab League or the United States or the Europeans to take any kind of military action. And military action would be harder in Syria than it was in Libya anyway.
What do you make of these state television reports coming out of Syria that's saying that the Russian foreign minister is giving in a hero's welcome, that people are waving the Russian flags on the streets of Damascus?
Well, I'm sure that if you're a supporter of Assad, you're waving the Russian flag, because the Russians in the end gave cover for the regime to hang on. Now, there are many people, and maybe they are optimists, here in Washington who believe that Assad's days are numbered, that at this point his regime is so badly wounded that he's going to go sooner or later. The only question is how many innocent people get killed along the way. And I think what's happened because of the inability of the Security Council to come together on this is that we now know many more hundreds, maybe thousands of people will be killed along the way.
Help me understand then, Moore, was it just this feeling that they were duped, as you say, in Libya that led Russia to veto the Security Council resolution? Help me understand the opposition of Russia and China to intervening in any way in Syria.
Well, it's hard to crawl into the minds of national leaders, and many of them may
probably don't want to, right?
Different views, and you may not want to, particularly at this early hour of the morning. But you certainly have to think that as both of these countries look at uprisings that they've had to go put down, the Russians in Chechnya, the Russians thinking about these anti-Putin demonstrations that have taken place, the Chinese, who have been throwing dissidents into jail at a remarkable pace in the past year and who were particularly spooked by the Arab Spring, they're probably thinking they don't want a number of precedents out there that could create a reason later on, years from now, for somebody to go and interfere within their own domestic borders, something both countries have long been concerned about. So, you know, we're in a world, as we live in the West here, where we've gradually adopted this concept of a responsibility to protect, in which it's a reasonable way to intervene to protect innocent people from their own dictatorships. The Russians and the Chinese are living in an older world in which national boundaries are where all international diplomacy stops, and that if there's an internal issue, it's not up to the United Nations Security Council, the United States, the Europeans, any international group to interfere.
Well, let me play you then this comment again from President Obama. He's being interviewed here by Matt Lauer on the Today Show.
I think it is very important for us to try to resolve this without recourse to outside military intervention. I think that's possible.
All right. So no outside military intervention, either from the U.S. or the Arab League or anybody else. But he took the diplomats out of the U.S. embassy. What other options are there?
Well, you could try all kinds of full trade embargoes, but those would end up making people who are suffering a lot suffer even more as you try to get rid of President Assad. The fact of the matter is that it's a lot more difficult in Syria than it was in Libya. I mean, Libya lent itself to military options. You could come in from air right on the water. A lot of the Libyan troops were out in the desert. They were fairly easy to get at. That's not the case when you've got these dense urban areas where a lot of the battling is taking place, including Homs, where it would be very difficult for NATO to come in and do what it did in Libya anyway. On top of that, you simply don't have the desire within NATO to step in and play the kind of role that they played in Libya.
So at this point, who do you see is taking a lead? Do you see the Arab League at this point taking a stronger lead? Will the United States in the end have to come forward?
I don't think you're going to see the United States come forward because they don't have a great option. And the Arab League is clearly pretty divided on this. I mean, they have acted, but they haven't acted with the kind of unity that you saw in Libya.
But that leaves nobody, David Sanger.
That's right. And that, you know, there are some problems in international relations that you don't really have an option other than to let them play out. And I suspect here there's some isolation and pressure to be done, but I don't think there's a decisive blow to be struck at Assad.
David Sanger is chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on WQXR's The Washington Report. David, thanks.
Thank you, Celeste.
Talking about the situation in Syria, where it is reported the city of Homs is under renewed assault today.
The There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.